Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's Christmas time. Almost. We're going to do something very interesting this morning. Since we are going into the Christmas holidays, we're going to take a real close-up look at what Christmas is all about, how we're distracted from time to time as we go into the Christmas season. We are still speaking on this series, Teach Us How to Pray, or Pray in This Manner. This morning, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, there are two key points mentioned there. Our Father's kingdom and His will. So we're going to take a quick survey of those. We're going to go from beginning to end, if you will. A survey starts at a point and it progresses very rapidly across those subjects to an ending point. So a survey is just a broad, general look. Excuse me. So as we go into our message, I'd like to illustrate God's kingdom for you. Back when I was a kid, we used to go out to a pond, to a creek, to a river or stream, and I'd stand looking, the water real still, and all of a sudden, from out of nowhere, here's a little spider. Spiders are very light, so they can actually walk on water. But here he goes, across the water. All of a sudden, he disappeared. It fascinated me as to where did he go. So I want to use that illustration to explain a little deeper insight into God's kingdom. But before we go there, let's pray. Father, we ask for the Holy Spirit guidance and direction as we go into this message. I pray, Lord, that each person here would be blessed, that they would be edified, that they could take away today something about Jesus Christ, to share with others in a way that would lead them to Christ. We ask again that you would bless the teaching of this message in those here this morning. The little spider is a little water spider. It's an amazing little creature. It's called the frogman of the spider world. He lives in rivers and streams. And as a child, we're going to talk about a safe haven. As a child, when you go to school and things really fall apart, or when you go to work, college, school, things fall apart, you really feel down, you need a place to go, a place to hide, a little safe haven. You can run to your family, you can run to your parents, you can share those problems with them, and just kind of hide in their loving care, knowing that they're to watch over you. Now this little spider is running across the water, and let's say that here comes this huge motorboat. It's afraid. He needs a safe place to go. He needs a kingdom. He needs a kingdom that he can call his own. Just as you would call your home, your mom and dad, or your very own. So here's the spider, here's how he deals with it. He weaves a little ball, and inside he leaves an opening. He goes then down below the surface and attaches his web to a branch, something underneath. Then he goes back up and captures a little ball of air. Now I want you to look at that little ball of air as the Holy Spirit that lives within you. It gives you the guidance and direction. It speaks to you about Jesus Christ. So, he captures this ball there, pulls himself down under the water, and deposits this ball there in his little diving bell, if you will, inside this little well. And he goes back out into the world. He goes back out into a world that is filled with problems, with troubles, with danger. And along comes the motorboat. Spider looks up. No, He disappears. He goes down into his little ball. He's already deposited air. So he has that life-giving air inside. That's how we want to look at God's kingdom. It's a place that we as Christians can go. We can go in, we can hide from the world, and just relax within God's care. As a child, and I used to be about this tall, and this tall. So, where you are, I have been. And where I am, one day you will go. So, as a child, I could run home and say, "Hey, Pop, I'm in trouble. Got trouble in school." "Oh, you're in trouble here too then." So, but anyway, that's the little spider. That's the illustration I wanted to give you. It's his little kingdom. He can go in and hide. We can hide, as it says in Psalms 91, under the wings of Jesus Christ, under his feathers. So just remember that. God's kingdom. We're going to do a quick survey. So let's look at our Father's kingdom. Before the mountains were born, or you were brought forth, the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, your God. Now when we go over to Psalms, it's not on your board, but Psalms 10. Let's go to Psalms 10, verse 12. I'm sorry. Psalms 90, verses 10 and 12. Psalm 90, verses 10 and 12. And notice that God is from everlasting to everlasting. But notice what he says about us. He's addressing God versus man. And here's what he says about us. He said the days of our years are 70. And then he goes on down to verse 12 and says, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our heart unto God's wisdom." Let's reword that just a little. Our days are numbered, paraphrasing. So since our days are numbered and God is everlasting, we want to mold our life, adopt the life pattern that will conform to an eternal purpose. So we have this 70 years, and we want to apply it to godly wisdom, learning and seeking God's way. So let's put it like this. We want our lives, based on the knowledge and understanding of God's Word, of His teachings, and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, to conform then to the will of God. Use this wisdom He has given us. Okay, let's go down to Adam and Eve and look at that. This is the beginning of our survey. Adam and Eve, we're paraphrasing again. God created man from the dust of the earth. He goes on down. Let's read that. Read it with me. The Lord God formed man from the dust of the earth. Breathe into his nostrils the breath of life. He became a living being. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord made from Adam's rib woman. So Adam has a wife here. He has a helpmate. Now, because of their disobedience, what happened? They were disobedient to God's will. Anyone, what happened? Eve brings this piece of fruit to Adam, and he eats of that. He was not supposed to. He was disobedient. So God comes in and he says, "Hey, Adam, You made a huge mistake. You did something that was against my will. There are consequences for that. So I'm going to toss you out of the garden. You take Adam, leave. At that point, then, God's earthly kingdom started with Adam and Eve. A kingdom began with occupation. And we're going to see a little later in my message how God occupies your heart and his kingdom begins and builds within you. But at this point, God said, okay, you're out of here. Bad news. All of a sudden, this child has been tossed out of his home. He's lost. He's out in a world that he knows not where to go, not what to do. So, remember this. The conversation between Adam and God probably might have went like this. And then out of, from all of the Bible, this is the most persuasive dialogue in regards to disobedience, and it applies to us today, that you will find in the Bible. It addresses sin and disobedience. Its impact is decisive. It is universal. It applies to everyone, and it is complete. In other words, if you go to school and you do something that is really bad, and you come home, your punishment will be very decisive, complete, and it will cover the circumstances. Christ requires from us obedience. Just remember that obedience. So, it encompasses both the beginning of man's transgression. This is Adam leaving now. God has tossed him out. And it encompasses when he left. It dealt with man's transgressions, the evil, the disobedience that he had done. But it also brought about the most important key point in Scripture. It encompasses God's love for us, God's love for His Son, Jesus Christ's love for us. It's the starting point of God's plan of redemption. It's the starting point of where God said, okay, man made a mistake, but I am going to recapture him because of my love for him. I'm going to find a way to get him back. So I'm opening up this plan of redemption. So when the gate closed, the Garden of Eden, God's plan of redemption started. But something else happened. We wound up with two kingdoms here now. We're talking about God's kingdom. Why do we want to know about God's kingdom? When we pray, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. When you say kingdom, we want it to go through your mind. Wow, that is big. God's kingdom was so big. The Bible is all about God's kingdom. So, two kingdoms start. One is ruled by Satan, one is ruled by God. Okay? So, we need to just keep that in mind. Now, as God's kingdom progressed through the Bible, all of you have heard about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the patriarchs. God made a covenant with Abraham. And without going into all of the detail, here's what God said. He said, I'm going to establish a covenant with you. The parent tells you, kid, look, we're going to have them here. You're going to make good grades. I'm going to punish you. You can no longer throw your books at the teacher because you're going to get in trouble. So, here's what God told Abraham. He said, I will make a covenant with you. This is a binding agreement between you and the Lord. This covenant is going to be unconditional. That means God is going to do it regardless of what man does. That means the parent is going to he's going to implement this regardless of what the child does. So we go on, it's going to be unconditional. The second point, it's going to be literal, it's going to be real. It is physically going to happen. God is going to see that it happens. The third point is going to be everlasting. Remember the song we read, God's kingdom is from everlasting to everlasting. So, it's going to be everlasting. It included three things, three points, then three things. It was a promise of land, a promise of descendants, and a promise of blessing. So God made this covenant with Abraham. Now what's important about this, we're talking about God's kingdom, a survey. Adam and Eve, God established it in the Garden of Eden. Problems came up, tossed out of the Garden of Eden. So here's Adam and Eve. We progress then to the patriarch, Abraham. The covenant God established with Abraham, with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, etc., 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 it laid the groundwork for God's kingdom in the Old Testament. It was built around this as it moved forward. See how survey is going out. So let's move it up to David. So here's David. God established a covenant with David also, that I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David my servant, I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations. So this kingdom, in spite of everything Satan has done, has moved forward. It's progressed up to a point now, and let's look at our Father's kingdom present. Our next overhead. Our Father's kingdom present. Daniel went in to interpret a dream. And you can read the verses, I'll paraphrase. Daniel interpreted this dream for the king. And it basically, if I summarize, it was this kingdom you have is going to fall. It's going to be replaced by a kingdom that is everlasting. And then as we go down into Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, Isaiah writes, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. And we will call him Emmanuel. God's kingdom now has come up to a prophetic point in the Bible where Isaiah some 700 years prior to the birth of Christ said, hey, we're going to have a king that comes on scene. He's going to establish this kingdom, and it will be an everlasting kingdom. So, let's move on then from Isaiah to what happened next. Jesus arrives. Just the last statement in that verse. Repent. This is John when he was baptizing. And he sees Jesus Christ coming. Christ has arrived. And he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Coming. If we go down then to Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. We don't have them on screen, but we find where Jesus Christ is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. Jesus Christ actually arrives in his kingdom at his birth, even though it hasn't changed yet, will grow and progress from that point. So, if we move forward a little farther, Jesus departs. And this is some, I'm moving very quickly. This is a survey. Jesus has arrived. We've left the Old Testament. God's kingdom from the Old Testament judgment is still in place, but it's in place because Jesus Christ has not been resurrected yet. That part of his life is not consummated yet. So here's Jesus in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And the writer says, Luke writes, after he said this, he was taken up before the very eyes of a cloud hid him from their sight. This is when Christ finished his earthly ministry. And he's departing from us. But while they were looking up intently into the sky as he was going, suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? All of a sudden, Christ has just been transcended. He went back up, ascended back into heaven. And he went on to say, this same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go. That was an awesome statement. This was made so many years ago, 2,000 years ago, for someone to say, hey, don't worry, he's going to come back. But in the meantime, he's going to set up a kingdom and come to live within your heart. So let's look. Let's just take a quick look at that. First of all, God's kingdom arrived, and Christ had the power to exercise authority over Satan, which he did. And then he said, made this statement, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all other things will be added unto you. He made another statement. He said, the nature of our Father's kingdom now becomes spiritual. And this is a very important point for you to remember. The kingdom of God comes not with observation or with conquering lands and establishing authority. Neither can anyone say it is here or it is there. You can't see it. It's a spiritual. It becomes spiritual. This is one of the most important little statements in the Bible. It's that pivotal verse that takes it from Old Testament, New Testament, and Christ makes this statement. For behold, the kingdom of God is now within you. You cannot take it away from a person when it lives within your heart. And then Jesus went on to say, and I thought this was just remarkable, how God, who has created the universe, would just up and say, hey, come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom that God has prepared for you from the foundation of the world. It is my pleasure to give it to you. So, with Jesus' return, quick survey of God's kingdom that now lives within you. Now let's look at the Father's will real quick. And I had asked for 5 volunteers, if you would, come up, and let's just a couple of you stand here, maybe one here and a couple over there, okay? And my wife Sandy is going to come up and give me some help real quick. Okay, if you come stand right here, okay? God's will in my life. There are three things that I am concerned with. There's my will. I'm a big guy. You know, I'm good my way. I have a problem with that. There's your will. It's, well, I think you should do it like that. Maybe that's not the way I want to go. And then there's God's will. So I want to find God's will. He speaks to the little children, the big kids, the adults, the adults. He goes from bottom to top. But I have two things that I find in Scripture. There is God's permissive will. He allows you to do things that are certainly not pleasing to Him. And then there's God's perfect will, and we'll address those two points. But when within the context of God's permissive will, for those of you that don't understand, you mean it's permissive, it means that you are permitted to do things. Maybe it could be right or wrong, but you have permission to do those things. But the underlying motivation should be that you should keep those things within acceptable parameters, within these acceptable guidelines. Okay. But now I'm seeking God's will, and I just can't hear it. I can't hear it. There are so many things out there that's interfering with it. Now, we're going to let hear some of the noises that you hear, and we're going into Christmas. Everybody wants to go shopping. This is my shop. This is going to be my new TV and loud music. This is going to be all my friends. Got to be Frank. Go there. Go here. I'm going with me.
There you go.
This is going to be all the toys, the computer, games. And what's my last one?
Computers and telephones?
Telephones, games. Wow. So we're faced with all these things that we want. And here's what happens. Here I am. I'm confused already. I've been in all my life. So it's nothing new. But I'm confused. I hear noises from here. My star is, he's kind of getting into it. And I hear all these noises. Go ahead, Sam. You just pass the book. Now my wife is going to pass out a book. And this is an all-seeing dinosaur book. When she finishes passing these books out to you, what I would like for you to do is this. On cue, that means when I say go, I'm going to turn the chopping up. I want you to start reading. Just open a page and start reading. At the same time, TV goes on, I want you to open your page and start reading. Just begin reading. Yeah. I want each of you guys to start reading, and I want you to read real loud.
And not until he comes and turns you on.
Not until I tell you. Okay, I'm going to turn all of you on at once. I want you to start reading really loud. Then my wife, Sandy, my angel, She's going to start reading also. Then I'm going to start turning you off one at a time. Turn you off. And I'm listening for God's will. I'm trying to find Christmas out of all this confusion. It's just getting louder and louder. Okay, guys, girls, start reading.
Light the fire that took a meal for your brother.
I want
that for him.
times.
And the name of the Lord suddenly
turned off.
Before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terribly frightened.
Wow.
The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid."
God's will. Like the little spiders, when you tune all these things out and you concentrate, focus on hearing God's will, God's word, it just says, "Hey, peace I give you, joy I give you, do not be afraid. A child is born." You can really hear what Christmas is all about. It's all about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the gift, the greatest gift that He brought into the world. What a wonderful thought. Thank you. Y'all did a great job. Thanks. Okay. We have five little stars. You did a good job. Thanks. Permissive will, to go to the Old Testament. Moses writes, "This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, because I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now I choose life so that you and your children may live." Choice. Blessings or curses. It started in the Old Testament. It still exists today. Some people choose to come into God's kingdom, accept Christ, and some don't. Our duty then move to God's perfect will. What is God's perfect will? God's perfect will we find in Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, some understand slowly. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but that everyone come to repentance, or that everyone come to and accept Jesus Christ. So, final point, how do you understand the difference between your will, the will of others for your life, and God's will? Is covered in two verses of Scripture. It's covered like this. Paul's letter to the Ephesians says, 5:17, and let's do this. We have the right reference to the wrong verse. I'll read the verse to you. It's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, "Be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." So understanding our Father's will is summarized as follows. First of all, first point, recognize that God's name is hallowed. He is holy, and therefore you should be holy. Two, through Jesus Christ, God's earthly kingdom must come and live within your heart. And three, you must surrender to our Heavenly Father's will as revealed to you by the Holy Spirit and through the written word. And finally, Paul says, "Be not conformed to this world." You're this little spider. The mother bug comes along. Satan's driving. You've got to have a safe haven. That safe haven is Jesus Christ. You can go into your little cocoon. So it goes past, it waves smooth out, and come back up. So, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Get your mind out of all of the little things that we talked about. Concentrate on Jesus Christ. And prove what is good. And acceptable, not just acceptable to Christ, acceptable to your parents, your teachers, and the perfect will of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. So we'll close with that, and my prayer is this, that if any of you have not fully accepted Jesus Christ, to come and live within your heart, if you haven't become a citizen of the kingdom of God, that you would talk to one of your elders, your deacons, my brother Casey Chin, Johnny, and that you would express your desire to come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. By doing that, you would give back a present to God that He has already given you, His Son. So let's close. Let's end our message. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the opportunity of presenting your word to the church. And I pray that as this year closes, that you would refresh the mind of this person here, bring to their attention the things they have done to glorify you, then encourage them as they go into the new year to truly exemplify the life of Christ in all that they do. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for your help.